Hello and welcome to the Oak Road Hatter podcast. I'm Billy Mully and today I'm joined by former Luton Town defender who went on to enjoy Premier League experience with West Brom and Norwich City and also now a founder of his own football academy, of course, Leon Barnett. Leon, thank you very much for coming onto the podcast today and how are you getting on?
Yeah, all good, mate, all good, especially after Luton's score at the end, at the weekend, obviously winning that last-minute goal, 3-2, so yeah, a little bit happier this Monday morning.
Yeah, as you say, it was a brilliant weekend for Luton fans, and yeah, good to hear that you were watching and seeing it all sort of come through. Of course, what I was going to say is today that we're going to start by talking about your career as a Luton Town player, starting with the academy and then going on for a couple of seasons with the first team. So I'm going by Wikipedia with this first question, that you joined the academy age 13 and then going on to your senior debut age 16. So it was quite a massive rise from joining the club as a young player, and within sort of 3 years later, you're playing at first team level.
Yeah, massively. Obviously, I've never really looked at it at that sort of level, but I remember coming into the club sort of on trial at 13, not really knowing what to expect, really. And then when I did get there, I think a lot of the players that were already signed, they sort of were so much more better than me, like technically a lot better than me, sort of physically. And I had a bit more football knowledge than I did. I think I was sort of kind of raw, didn't really understand the game as much, but just used my strengths to get through the season. But yeah, it was very intense. I was quite excited. And then over the years, I've sort of progressed. And yeah, I think the rest is history.
Exactly that, and going on loan to Aylesbury United during the 2004-2005 season. I think that's step seven of the English pyramid, and then coming back to play Championship football, I think it was 20 games. So how big was that step, and did you feel ready, say, by the end of that spell with Aylesbury?
Well, I thought I was not bullied into it, but I didn't really want to go to start off with. I think Marvin Johnson was the youth team manager. Obviously, he came in just after John Moore left, and I think he just wanted me just to toughen up a little bit. And I went there just, there was no sort of pressure. I went there just to get games, get a little bit more understanding of how football's played properly. I'd probably come back and say that sort of I chewed on a lot of people's elbows, really. There were big bruises, a lot more bigger and physical than me. I just was sent there to learn the more ugly side of the game. I think nowadays you look at Man City and Barcelona, it's all sort of nice, tippy-tappy football. But, you know, in League One and Two and probably a little bit higher, it's quite direct, and you have to play against these physical players that are a lot bigger and smarter than you. So, yeah, that was a massive learning curve in my career. And I think without going to sort of those leagues and not sort of being up a little bit, I wouldn't have been the player that I was.
And when speaking about Aylesbury, obviously coming from a club that was sort of fighting League One, going into the Championship at the time, did you feel that there was a sort of expectation coming from the Aylesbury side of things, hearing that a player from Luton is coming down on loan?
It might have been. I remember there was a couple of friends that I knew that were at Aylesbury, and after speaking to them, I think the team were quite excited that I was coming in, but I was only still sort of 18. I was in the youth team, and personally, I just took it as me getting games and just sort of understanding how you play football. But I don't know, my expectation was literally just to enjoy myself. Obviously, I knew I wasn't going to be there for long, and I thought, you know, I'm training with Luton and Aylesbury, and then I've got the game against a sort of a more realistic sort of football. Obviously, I was still playing like youth team football with Luton, but on a Saturday as well, I was playing sort of men's football, which I don't know, I think is a lot more progressive than it was youth team.
And do you think that massively helped? You know, you mentioned sort of the physical side of things at Aylesbury. Do you find that going in and having that spell, do you think that sort of bode well for your Luton career progressing into the first team and beyond?
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, I think Luton were a team that's obviously not always playing the most prettiest football. And I don't know, I think Aylesbury were playing at a decent level. And like I said, I wanted to be in that first team environment at Luton. And, you know, I think I've got to sort of get used to how men play football and how sort of physical they are. And you know, I think it's a different style of football. So me just gaining that sort of knowledge is sort of, I don't know, it's massive for me. It's quite positive.
And when you came back, obviously you progressed very well with Luton, as I said before, 20 championship games just upon return, and you know, that's the kind of time at Luton, all the financial stuff behind the scenes was going on. Was there sort of genuine belief that you could go on and enjoy a successful career, going on to the Premier League and, you know, playing championship football as a young player? You must have thought the world was your oyster, really.
Yeah, it was tough. I'm not going to lie. It was very difficult. I think when you go into a first team environment at sort of, I don't know, 18, 19, it is going to quite intimidating, especially with the dressing we had. We had some big characters. And yeah, I just felt that I've just got to play my best. That's all I can do. So whether that be in training, whether that be in pre-season, I'd always sort of give my maximum. And like I've said to people before, when I've done talks with younger children, I've just said that I've always set myself goals. So when I was obviously signed from Luton at the age of 13, I wanted to play in the youth team and I don't know, maybe like make 10 appearances in the whole year. And then I gradually progressed where I got to a stage where when I did sort of get my professional contract, I wanted to sort of play, I don't know, a certain amount of games or, you know, play at this certain ground. And then, like I said, I've always set targets every season. And, you know, I remember my end goal was to play in the Premier League. So I managed to do that. But I would always set little milestones and made it easy for myself to reach those targets.
Certainly. And then going on to the rest of your career, you earned a Premier League move and you played your first Premier League game aged 22. So you're still a very young player at this point. So what was it like going into the first team environment at a Premier League club and still being a young player and going on to play regular Premier League football?
Yeah, I remember it was quite surreal when I turned up to West Brom training ground and I was sort of smuggled in between Paul Robinson, who was obviously a Watford hero. I didn't know where he knew where I was, but obviously I knew what he was and where he's from, and obviously I didn't know whether there was going to be a bit of a love-hate relationship there. And then obviously on my left-hand side there was like John Artson, which was a massive Luton Town fan, played at Luton, played at Arsenal, which is my team that I supported. So I remember walking into that dressing room with the big characters thinking, am I going to be able to fit in this team? I knew, obviously, like I said, from when I was 13, it was a similar sort of position and similar sort of, I don't know, moment where I knew that players around me were a lot better than what I was. And I don't know, just even sitting next to them two were sort of a big sort of stature that I could obviously just put on my CV and just try and sort of use them as a mentor, really. Try and work as hard as I can, stick by them. Obviously, it was great because obviously Paul Robinson was a defender. That was someone that I'd later play with. And obviously, like I said, he played at a high level. He played for Watford, which weren't the nicest team in the world, but he's obviously played a number of games that I didn't. Then I've got sort of John Hartson. I'd be playing sort of against him in training. He's a striker. And he's obviously one of the best sort of strikers in terms of at that level and obviously being able to use his body. Whereas I've been practicing against sort of players in Aylesbury that used to use their body, but he was a lot more sort of technical and he had a lot more attributes than a lot of the boys that were there.
You mentioned there about John Hartson and being different to what you've ever come up against, you know, coming through Luton and Aylesbury. Did you find he sort of took you under his wing a bit with that Luton connection? Did you find that you learnt a lot off him, even though he was a striker? He was still, you know, just the wisdom that he had in the game of football. Did you find that helped you as well?
Yeah, definitely. I think there's some of the stories that he used to come out with, and even when I was playing against him in training, I remember that was the sort of time, I didn't realise, but that was the sort of time where he had the cancer. But yeah, he was a very different animal in training. He was very nice when you speak to him on the training, in and around the training ground. Obviously, once you step over that line, he'd be a very fierce competitor. He was very strong. And then obviously, on the other hand, you get Kevin Phillips, that played at sort of a high level as well. He was quite nippy, quite small. So, like I said, it was different types of strikers, different sort of styles. And me to sort of play with them and against them in training is obviously a massive attribute to have. Obviously, when you come against other players that in a championship that have those sort of attributes that they have, you know how to overcome it because you've played with these guys in training.
After West Brom, another massive club that you played for and enjoyed success with was Norwich. And yeah, you've gone on to succeed. You got promoted from the Championship, and another Premier League opportunity arose. So how brilliant was it, again, getting that Premier League opportunity with a club after a successful season in the Championship?
Yeah, it's fantastic. That sort of come out of nowhere, really, Norwich. I didn't really want to go because it was sort of so far from home. But that's obviously part and parcel of being a footballer. You've got to sort of travel. Options like that and offers don't really come around too often. But yeah, once again, Norwich was a fantastic part of the world that I still love, still travel to every now and again. And it was a great move. I was quite fortunate in terms of I was there when we were underestimated. A lot of people thought they'd just come up from League One into the Championship, and they probably thought that we were going to go back down. And I think we used that to our advantage, really. We didn't have any standout players. We didn't have anybody that was going to score 30 goals a season, but we did have players that sort of wanted to work for each other and grafted every day for Paul Lambert.
And that can sort of be applied to Luton now, a team in the Championship that, say, if we do get promoted, say, the next 3 or 4 years, it's going to be about that togetherness, that grittiness, and, you know, all those components that you've been speaking about at Norwich. That would have to be all in place in Luton.
Yeah, of course it would. Yeah, 1,000,000%. I think when you turn up to sort of Luton's training ground back then, it wasn't the greatest. And then obviously when I've gone to sort of West Brom and Norwich, their training ground, as a player, as a young kid, it sort of excites you. It's something that you want to be working at. It's like when you turn up to a your new workplace and everything's clean, everything's tidy, the people are dressed nicely. There might be someone that's sort of done a high career. It was fantastic. I loved my time at Norwich. Like I said, where my children were born. And every now and again, I go back there. But the style of football that they played as well was different compared to everybody else. Like, all I was told to do is sort of do what I do best. And I wasn't told to sort of, be Franz Beckenbauer on the ball. I was just told to keep it easy. If I win the ball, play it to my right back or my left back or, centre midfielder. It was nothing too difficult that I can handle.
Definitely. And we have to come on to talk about it. Being the Luton podcast, it was the giant kill in the 2012-2013 season game you played in. So with Luton coming in as a non-league club in the fourth round of the FA Cup, what were your thoughts, obviously, coming through the ranks at Luton and playing at first team level?
Yeah, no, it was great. Obviously, I didn't know that obviously we'd be playing against Luton. I just thought, it's another Epic Cup run. I'll be doing, I don't know who he's going to play against, but I remember playing that game. And I remember, I think we had Harry Kane at the time. I think he played, but he got taken off quite early on in the game. I think it was an ankle injury. I think we were nailed on to sort of be the favourites, and yeah, they came and they upset us, really. I remember we had a couple of goals I think I scored a goal which was disallowed. Obviously, I think if you go back now, the VAR probably would have given it, but like I said, that's all in hindsight. But yeah, they came and I think they were just looting in general, really. I think they always worked hard, and they were one of the teams that sort of everybody underestimated, and they just once again proved people wrong.
Yeah, as you say, I think going back to that game, if VAR was in, I think there was a decision, I think it was on Lathaniel Roturner, a clear handball, and yeah, if VAR was there now, I think that was definitely a result maybe that perhaps couldn't have happened. But yeah, as you say, it was just one of those days. Luton came and, you know, they're non-league at the time and playing against a brilliant side in Norwich, full of talent, and you know the magic of it, of the FA Cup, a non-league sides and going to Norwich and winning, that's sort of a one in a thousand kind of thing happening. It's just one of those days that I think that will live long in the memory of Luton fans.
Yeah, definitely. I think Luton were in the conference at the time, and I think, like I said, it's a different style of football compared to sort of Championship football to sort of conference, and I think they just upset us. I think their resilience and their sort of willingness to win the ball, and I think when you're a bigger team, it's very tough to, it sounds so bad, but it's very tough to concentrate on the smaller teams. You just automatically think they're a smaller team, so we should be able to win, but that's not always the case.
100%. I think the mindset as well, obviously Luton treating it as their cup final, all Luton players were going to be massively up for it. It's the sort of the biggest game of some of the Luton players' careers, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, some of those players have never played against sort of those the high sort of Premier League and Championship players. So, like you said, every game for them in the FA Cup is like Wembley. You're never going to sort of get that opportunity again. And I think when they came there, like I said, I don't know whether a couple of the boys did underestimate Luton, but it was a game that sort of, I know, Norwich probably should have won on paper. But like I said, they've turned up in numbers. I think the crowd obviously were on their side as well. And I think that they showed Norwich that they're not going to be a rollover.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, as I said, a one that I think Luton fans, I think 9 years ago, it's coming up to 9 years since that day. So one of the days that will forever live in the memories of Luton fans. But going back onto your Premier League experience, you've obviously come up against some unbelievable world-class strikers. So I know it's probably hard to narrow it down to just maybe a couple of names, but are there any sort of standout ones that you can't miss on this list?
Yeah, so obviously when I was at Norwich, we were in the Premier League and we played sort of, I don't know, the top teams, obviously the Chelsea's, the Liverpool's, Arsenal. And it was obviously some great players that played, such as like Drogba, Lampard, Gerrard. But I think the one that stands out for me was probably Luis Suarez. I think he was very, I think he was one of those strikers that I just didn't know how to handle. I didn't know what to expect. I know he was sort of in top form whenever he played Norwich. I think he scored a hat-trick every time, but it was just something that we could never sort of deal with, and I think I struggled massively.
Yeah, and going back to Luis Suarez's record against Norwich, when you see the goals as well, it's never the fault of a defender. It's just some unbelievable goals that just seem that they can't be prevented.
Yeah, I think, like I said, I think the manager probably at time when you're doing a team talk can be a little bit harsh. I think you've got to realise that some of the teams that we're playing, even like Man United and Man City, I think they're world class, and I think you've got to give them credit. They're there for a reason. The clubs have got, you know, big money to splash the cash on big name players like that. And I think we've just got to go there and try and upset a few. Obviously, it's not going to happen week in, week out, but I think we gave a good account of ourselves. And like I said, sometimes it didn't always work, but sometimes I think we probably deserved a little bit more than what we did. And sometimes we did get results. But yeah, I think it is harsh. You know, I think there's a massive gap between sort of the Championship and obviously when you do move into the Premier League, you know, the style of play is a lot different. And yeah, like I said, time and time again, I think Norwich done really well, but they probably didn't do enough to stay up.
Yeah, I guess the kind of things that we associate with Norwich, that they seem to be a side that do struggle when they get into the Premier League, but when they do come back to the Championship, they are unplayable. And I think they've proved that for many years now, that they are a side that are probably too good for the Championship. And when they do get the Premier League chance, they do give it a good go, but sometimes just come up short.
Yeah, it's difficult. I don't think they're the only one. I think West Brom are similar to like that. They can really dominate the Championship, and I don't know whether it might be just that money that, you know, they've not got that money to spend. That money that they've not got to spend is like a massive sort of stumbling block. You know, you get Man City that spend sort of 50 million on a player, which is quite cheap for them. But then for Norwich, you won't see anyone going for 50 million. But like I said, you've got to compete with those teams. You've got to just try and make it as hard as possible if you can't win.
100%. And now looking a bit about the end of your playing career and going on to the coaching. So your first role was with Northampton coming at the end of your playing career. You were given it a coaching role. And was it always going to be a career in football after your playing career? Was that always where your heart lied?
What, in playing?
In terms of the coaching, was the coaching element always something you wanted to go on to after your playing career came to an end?
So no, not really. When I was playing, that's all I concentrated on was just playing. I didn't really want to be a coach. My second love was property, and still is. But then, sort of, when I finished my career, obviously it was a bit too short for my liking. I always sort of wanted to stay in the game. So whether that be sort of media coverage, or even just, I don't know, coaching was something that was on the back burner. But yeah, I didn't think I'd want to be coaching full time. But then, obviously, once I did get a sort of a feel of it, like a taste of it, then yeah, I enjoy coaching. I enjoy sort of helping others and just sharing my knowledge. Around where we sort of like are based, there's not many pros around here or can lean on to maybe give sort of experience and coaching. So yeah, I just thought it'd be a great idea. Like I said, when I was younger, there was no sort of pros in and around the place that I could obviously get sort of support or get any knowledge or training from. So, you know, why not be that, why not make that difference for that child?
And is that what sort of enabled the switch from Northampton to the creation of your own football academy, the sort of power of the role models and players that have gone in and done that before and had the experience of, you know, yourself playing Premier League football?
Yeah, a little bit. When I was at Northampton, it was obviously a different sort of mindset. I sort of coming to the end of my career, so I kind of was planning what I wanted to do after football. And, you know, I spoke to a few people I've played with. And yeah, coaching, they've always mentioned you should do your coaching badges anyway. So like I said, I went and done my coaching badges and I coached a few teams, done one-to-one coaching. And just, yeah, I didn't think I'd enjoy coaching as much as I did. And yeah, like I said, I really enjoy it now. And it's something that, like I said, I want to help others, or I want to share the experiences that I've had, and hopefully they can have a good go at it. Maybe even if it means just sort of preparation, or even nutrition, I just want to sort of be a part of people's career, and hopefully I can build on and make a positive effect on their career.
Yeah, certainly sounds excellent from what you've told me as well off air and what I've seen on the website. It looks brilliant in terms of being a young player and perhaps not having the option of going into an academy setting. It seems an excellent option for players that not just to go on to, you know, their playing careers, but as you say, they're learning about the nutrition side of things, learning about recovery and all those elements that perhaps get overshadowed when talking about academy football.
Yeah, definitely. I think, I don't know, I think it's a little bit different to what it was back then. I think now there's so much sports science involved in it, that brings out a lot of good stuff in players, and even just like the discipline. I think the discipline for me, when I was sort of in the youth team at Luton Town, I had John Moore that would be sort of making sure everything's spick and span, if I'm not allowed to sort of turn up late for training, or even if I turn up sort of 10 seconds, you know, after the time that he set, it's still late, which I still take into consideration now, and I try and, you know, share those sort of those memories and those sort of rules that we have here. We try to make sure everybody has those sort of, you know, responsibilities and be professional at what they do. It is difficult for someone that's obviously just left school, but it's something that we want to maybe give them the opportunity to maybe start a good life. So whether it be in sport or in football, that they can sort of build that sort of responsibility and have.
And how many players are currently at the academy at this stage, and are there any other coaches as well?
So at the moment, we just obviously do the half-term camps. Obviously, during half-term, there's like 3 days where we just, you know, play games. And it's not so much a trial, it's just literally time for them to wind down. So we might have some football-related games, a couple of matches and tournaments along with prizes. And it's just more for those guys that, you know, they've been in school. It's like being at work. You've worked all day. And when it does come to half-term, you can sort of like let your hair down. And then obviously on the other side, we've got the football education program where we've got a group of sort of 16 to 18 year olds that we help build on. Obviously, I know schools teach math, science, English, but I just don't think there's enough sort of life skills. So obviously, when you leave school, you know, life skills, how simple things as like, how do you swim? How do you write a CV? How do you sort of handle like a job interview? And they're the sort of skills that I want to sort of pass on to a lot of the kids. I think a lot of the kids here do think that they're going to be professional footballers, which is great, and you should set your dreams as high as possible, but there is that small percentage that, you know, do make it, and then there's a larger percentage that don't make it. So you need to sort of prepare as well that, you know, if it doesn't happen, what if, you know, what is my second option? What can I do afterwards? What can I do to maybe stay in sport?
So, well, yeah, certainly sounds brilliant, the work that you're doing, and you know, sort of the both sides of things, having the sort of the fun element of it, the half-term camps, and then the other side of things that's preparing people for their careers. It all sounds excellent. Going to go on to Luton, where they are now, and as we spoke a little bit before off air, that you still keep your eye on Luton quite closely.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think, like I said, I touched on before we was in the interview, I think that, you know, my first love is obviously Luton. This is where sort of I was brought up. I went to school, still a lot of friends. My little boys play for Luton. And yeah, every now and again, I do sort of media coverage with Luton Town and obviously keep an eye on their results. Obviously, it was a great result at the weekend. There's nothing sweeter than scoring sort of a last minute winner. But yeah, I always sort of keep out on their score. You know, I feel like I have to. I feel that I want to. And I think, yeah, it's a club going in a great direction. Obviously, they've got their manager settled now, and you know, you sort of building a philosophy that the boys are buying into, and yeah, it looks positive at the moment. So yeah, it's a good time to be a Hatters fan.
Yeah, and you mentioned it there, a manager in place in Nathan Jones signed a new contract to 2027. What have your thoughts been on Nathan Jones as a manager, and you know, the sort of continued success Luton have seen under him?
No, that's great. I think it's for someone to come in that sort of when he first come in was unknown, and I suppose Luton have been very loyal to him, and in a way he has been loyal. I know he left and then came back, but he showed that he wanted to be part of the Luton Town project. He, you know, brought them through the leagues, which is fantastic. And you know, when I speak to so many people just regarding his sort of that breakup he had, and I think I understand that, you know, when a team does come in, you do move along. So whether it be sort of to pursue your career, you wanna play at your highest level. And I think that people have got to realise, you know, if there was a job offer at their workplace, and it meant that you get a promotion, it meant that you sort of, I don't know, move up the pyramid, then you're probably going to think about it and maybe move up one. So, yeah, I understand people are a little bit frustrated of him moving on. But I think it's just natural. It's a part and parcel of life. And, yeah, like I said, he's done more than enough for the club, and it just shows now that he's a good manager, and hopefully we can keep him a lot longer than 2027. But yeah, he's brought in players that want to play for him, and it's great to see.
Yeah, as you say, it's a real excitement around Kenilworth Road at the moment, and you know, it's 9 points from the playoff positions, dare we dream, with 3 games in hand. Do you think that, you know, the playoffs is a bit too ambitious at this point, or just content with the continued progression that Luton are under at the moment?
Yeah, I think you've got to be realistic and just focus on the next game. I think all the players and the manager and coaching staff will say the exact same thing. I think you just got to try and play every game as it is. I understand Luton want to be in the playoffs or even want to be in the Premier League, but like, again, you've got to be realistic. You've got to just concentrate on the next game. Like I said, it's fantastic to see them in the Championship, and I think over the last couple of years they've established themselves, and I think just set a milestone, you know, this year this is where we're going to finish, and gradually just keep building it. But I don't see why they couldn't be in the playoffs. When you look at the teams that are in the playoffs, they are strong. A lot of the teams in the Championship have played in the Premier League, so a lot bigger club than what Luton Town are. But you know, like we saw on Saturday, Luton Town are upsetting a lot of clubs now, that especially clubs that have been in the Premier League, like Bournemouth. You know, they've gone toe-to-toe with them and probably should have scored one more extra goal, which, you know, was a little bit dubious. But, yeah, I think Luton have done a great job over the last couple of years in the Championship, and, yeah, I'd love to see them in the Premier League. It would be great. But, yeah, I think you've got to be realistic and just play every game as it comes.
Yeah, as you say, I don't think anybody at Luton, at least Nathan Jones, will be, you know, too excited. I think he showed his true emotion on Saturday, but as you say, as a lot of coaches will say, it's all about taking each game as it comes, and if after 45 games with 1 game left, Luton are in for a shout, I'm sure that's when the excitement might build.
Yeah, definitely. And you know what, I think it is nice to see a manager that cares. I think, you know, nowadays you see someone that sort of wins a game, claps fans and gets down the tunnel as quick as they can, but I think nothing... I don't know, I just think with his celebrations after the game, just his relationship, always speaking to the media, what he's done for the club coming back, I think he's been through so much as a coach, and I don't know, when they do win, you see his true colours, you know, his knee sliding, which is great. You wouldn't see me doing that, but he's obviously doing it in his suit, his tracksuit, whatever, and he just shows the passion that he's got, which is great. So yeah, fair play to him.
I was going to say, I don't think I've ever seen a knee slide from so high up. He's got some distance and some height to it.
That's what I mean. So I'm sure he'll be feeling sore this Monday morning, but like I said, it's all worth it.
Yeah, definitely. No joining in with training, I can't imagine this week. Well, thank you very much, Leon, for joining me today. It's been great to speak about your career, about going on to your coaching career and Luton now. It's, as we said, quite an exciting time for us Luton fans.
Cheers, Billy. Thank you, mate.
Cheers.